Welcome to Stop Back and Roll, a podcast about using the power of friendship and cooperation to draw a cute little mech. I'm Brandon.
And I'm James, and today we're going to be talking about a puzzle-like board game that Brandon is working on and my sticky note mech experiment. I do think every once in a while, what if we pivoted Stop Hack and Roll into being a job searching job advice podcast? Because sometimes we talk about that and I think that's interesting. But
oftentimes we talk about that before.
Yeah, I feel like our existing listeners might not be as interested.
No. I think that would probably be a new project. And yeah. I don't know that we need any new projects.
Stop Hack and Get Hired.
That sounds like we're getting hired for like hacking into things.
Yeah.
Which maybe we don't want people to think we're doing.
No. We're definitely not hacking into things. Wink.
Winky blinky.
So. This is one of those episodes where we've got like just a bunch of random stuff. Like you're working on a side project, I did something by accident that I think might be a game, but I'm not sure where the game is yet.
Okay.
So,
I chatted about a game that it was like a basic board game idea that I wanted to play around with because my kid has been super into board games lately. And she heard the description and was like, I want to play that now.
Ooh.
And has since been kind of hounding me about playing it. So, I've put a little bit of time into it. I kind of think it's fun. I think it's slick.
Nice.
Yeah,
I like that.
So where do you want to start? Yours or mine?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Should we roll for it?
Yeah.
All right. I've got a D12.
I have a D20.
Okay. So
all I have is a D20 and a bunch of D6s.
So we'll just
also
roll
have
off.
A coin.
We'll roll off on the D20. You just have an advantage.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh wait, right. I'll roll a D12 plus a D4.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I have a D4 in front of me.
Okay, I'm gonna roll this D20.
All right, I got 7.
I got 10.
All right, you're up first.
All right.
And roll your damage.
I got a 1.
Okay, I live.
All right.
Yeah.
Good, because we have a show to do.
Yeah.
So on Friday of last week, I tweeted, hey, respond to this tweet and I will draw you a tiny little mech on a sticky note. And then I did that for a day. I did it for the most that evening, and I woke up to more people the next day saying, hey, are there still sticky note mechs left? And I said, yep, I still have sticky notes.
The way that we use social media now versus a year ago is so dramatically different, it's unrecognizable.
Yeah.
You use it primarily to run weird little games.
Yeah, that's true, I do.
And I occasionally hop on Blue Sky, like one thing, and immediately close.
Yeah. Weirdly, I did this both on Blue Sky and Twitter, and I continue just be upset with the fact that I get more engagement on Twitter. So I don't know. So I drew all these. I started drawing, and you're like constrained by the fact that, or I was constrained by the fact that I'm A, not good at drawing.
Okay.
I was using a marker. I started with like a Sharpie, and when I came home, I didn't have a Sharpie, but I had a finer. I guess it's still a Sharpie, but it's an ultra fine point Sharpie. But you're restricted to one. I was restricting myself to one color and one sticky note, and there were only like one or two times where I started with no plan. I would like Google the word mechs and just look at the images that were there and kind of be like, okay, that's kind of interesting, that's kind of interesting, and then just start drawing with no plan. And all of the mechs are really weird. And there was only one time where I was like, this is actually terrible, I need to just throw this away and start over.
Okay.
But I ended up with a whole bunch of different like weird little guy mechs.
Okay.
And I don't know, it feels like they feel like characters in something.
Okay.
And I don't know that this is where I kind of don't know where the game is. I like mech games, and I've been playing a bunch of them recently. Like, I played a lot of Lancer, played a lot of Beam Saber. I just got this game, Salvage Union, which is very aesthetically cool, but I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet. And I have for a long time really liked this idea of what if you played a game and part of character creation, or in this case mech creation, was like you had to draw the little guy. You had to draw it like you've been drawing a bunch of little guys for Radcrawl, but like as these are the little guys.
Yeah, but play one of them. Your own little guy.
What if you're drawing your own little guy, and then some part of like what did you draw gives you mechanics, and then I sort of started thinking like what if rather, I mean, I didn't do this, but what if instead of drawing one little guy per sticky note, you drew like larger parts of a mech per sticky note, and then they became like the, like if you drew like a missile pod or a leg. Or part of a leg, or, and so you had maybe like three or four sticky notes that made a leg, and then like two that made the core, and then some like one sticky note per weapon system, and then you would like build out a little mech out of sticky notes, and then you could remove them and swap in new parts. So I feel like maybe there's something there. I also just really love, I'm just looking at this this gallery in my Google Photos now, where I have maybe like 15 of these weird little mechs, and they're just like, I came up with like a lot of variety of things, and I just like the idea of like, they're not great, they're not good quality, and like, could I find a game here that involves like part of your character creation is draw a little mech to be your guy.
Man, there is, I'm losing my mind here. Because there, I feel like I have seen a tabletop game where you draw a mech.
There's a ton where you like, there was, I don't remember what it is right now off the top of my head, but there's one where you like build them out of Lego.
Is there one that you like pass the paper around?
Ooh, I don't know that, but I like that too. That sounds cool. Because a lot of what I did do is like, here is a sword, or here is a big hand, here is an arm, and then I drew like out from that, and that's like as part of this process of like just drawing a mech without planning. I got some really weird guys.
I should stop trying to find this, because I think I'm not gonna find this.
I found Bots and Pieces.
Yeah, that's the one that I was saying that it's not the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
There's a possibility that I'm thinking of like a game that was in at Metatopia 2015. Didn't go anywhere.
We did see a bunch of games, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's like, I don't know.
It sounds fun drawing little guys like that.
Yeah, and I like the kind of spontaneity of it. I think I thought for a little while, did I want to draw a bunch of these guys, these little mechs, and then like. Kind of Radcrawl style, like spec them out. But I really like the idea of like every time you need something, you just draw another mech.
You just draw a little guy, yeah.
Yeah. And there's something very like ephemeral about a Sharpie drawn mech on a sticky note.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't, I like at one point I tried to, when I got home from work and I had to keep drawing mechs, I thought I didn't have sticky notes.
Had to keep drawing.
Yeah. Well, people had asked, so I said I would. But they said, So I thought I didn't have sticky notes, so I was going to draw them on paper, and I was like, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
And so thankfully, I found some sticky notes, so I was able to continue. But like, I think that's important. It feels important that it's sticky notes. It feels important that it's a Sharpie. It feels important that there's no color, except for the yellow of the sticky note.
I wonder if this could be a little tactics game.
Mm-hmm.
That... Okay. Hear me out. Sticky notes, stick it on a whiteboard or something.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you Dr. Magnet Hand style, draw a bunch of little mechs. And then those get randomized into like your infantry.
Mm.
And so like your little mechs versus the opponent little mechs. And like maybe there's like a quick system that you're going like oh, this is quick, it has plus one. This is strong, it has plus armor, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like a really simple resolution system that these things are like moving around quickly. And so instead of going like draw a mech, stat it up, and it's difficult, you know, like that you're like getting every single piece of it, you're drawing a little guy and going like, this guy's fast.
Yeah. They have like one or two things. And then definitely drawing them, I was like, this guy has skis. This guy has four legs. This one has balloons they use to get around. This one, the one I think is literally made of sticky notes. One of them is a pirate ship.
Because I wonder if there's like a little design it in the moment war game.
Yeah.
To be had.
Yeah.
Like a Dr. Magnet Hens for a tactical war game.
I do think there's something to that. I think that there is something to. I think that they are fun individually, but I think there is something about them together. So I do think it would need to be a game where you like draw a bunch of them and then either like roll to deploy them randomly, or when you're when one gets just like, no, they have to be like, wouldn't be one like when be, wouldn't it couldn't be if one gets destroyed, draw an, or roll another one, because I want a bunch, like you want like four or five of them on a page together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do like the idea of it being kind of an impromptu tactics game where they each have like maybe like one thing that they do that's good.
Yeah, I feel like that could be something.
Needless to say, a pirate ship.
I feel like that could be something is about 1,000 years away from like.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's also where I started, which is this feels like something.
But I could see that being neat. Like you sit down with a couple buddies, you draw some little guys. And really, really, if you're drawing little guys, they don't need to be mechs.
That's true.
Sit down, draw some guys, give them, give each one a thingy that they can do.
Yeah.
Like, is this a sword or ranged? And what is their one ability thing? Maybe even rolled, you know?
Yeah.
Like you like roll three dice that give you a little bit of info on it. And then those are the three attributes and you have to draw that. So you might get like this is a flying ranged.
Okay.
It has
I like that.
Thick armor.
Yeah. I like tables, and then
maybe
and
you draft
then...
them at the end.
And then, like, yeah, or it maybe not even at the end, but, like, you roll three attributes, and it's like, okay, now I have to draw a thing that has those attributes.
Yeah. Oh, wait, wait. You draw the thing that has those attributes, and you choose little guys from the other people's drawings, but you don't know their stats ahead of time.
Oh.
So it's, like a three-person minimum little war game, little skirmishy game. And so I'm looking at your little guys and Megan's little guys and putting together my team of six, eight, whatever it is, and like making tactical decisions based on the visuals.
Interesting. This is the one that I had skis. I'm showing you pictures, I think.
Oh, let me I had you minimized.
Oh. Well. Then I haven't been showing you pictures.
Oh, you've been showing me pictures this whole time?
I've just been scrolling through them as we've been talking.
This is an audio medium, James.
I know.
These are some pretty good little guys.
I'm trying to think. This is
my
favorite.
You could totally come up with like a little table, right?
Somebody asked me for one that had a sword. So I made it a container that holds a sword, but that the mech can't use.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is the one that
I think might be sticky notes. This is a great audio medium content, but yeah, like here, if I pull this out, this is like, I was just looking at this going, there's just something here about like looking at all these little guys next to each other. And I do kind of like the idea that, okay, so I mean, you could do it like if you wrote on in pencil on the back the three stats and then drew in Sharpie on the front the mech, you could then pass them around.
Yeah.
And I kind of the other kind of mech aesthetic that I love is like scrapyard mech or like old mechs you discovered from deep underground. And so like randomizing in that way kind of plays into that.
And then I feel like you then can have like a character, like a player sheet that you're able to just like quickly write down the stats. You've got everything in front of you so you can actually play the war game.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that
this
it
could be a cute little Dr. Magnet hands.
Yeah,
I think it's way more intense.
I think it's like a little party tactics game.
Yeah, and then they're on sticky notes. So when you destroy one, the player has to eat it.
No. But maybe tear it up.
One or the other. One of those.
Yeah.
Or stick it on like the big board of kills.
Stick it on something. Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the benefit of it being on a sticky note. Is it's like it's very portable. You can kind of make sticky notes stand up.
Okay. Yeah. True.
It's something I thought about. So,
I feel like this could be a fun little time. I would totally.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, it's a combo of rolling on a table to pull out some mechanics, draw a little guy, maybe some blind choosing. I don't know how it just, I don't know how committed I am to that, but I do like the idea of everybody rolls like five and then puts them into a table in the middle and then you pick them out. Maybe you pick them out blind. Yeah.
The advantage to the picking out without knowing their stats is just so that people can't be too strategic.
Yeah.
But maybe you want people to be strategic.
But I think that part of it is like you've got to draw the mech in a way that conveys the thing.
Yeah.
And that's how you figure it out.
I feel like that too. And like, you know, probably someone could choose not to do that. But like,
yeah, but that's
Talk to your players.
Yeah, that's not fun. You want to be fun.
And I think there's nothing stopping you from drawing little guys that aren't mechs.
Yeah, that's true. There could be a fantasy.
Which is also, or we could sit down and you could be like, hey, let's play this mech game. And I'm like, all right, all of mine are goblins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something interesting about that. Yeah, maybe you roll for what kind of thing. You are.
Like you make the companies.
Yeah.
I feel like sci-fi companies is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a goblin and a mech and an alien. Yeah. And Weird little guy simulator.
As we all know, the most important thing.
Stop hack and roll concept game ever. Weird little guy simulator.
Boy.
Deep emotions. And weird little guys.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Little one, little the other. Do you want to pivot? I think that
Do you want to pivot or do you have more that you'd like to...
I feel
to...
like that... I don't know. Like, I feel like I need to think on that. Maybe we come back if I think of anything else. But I think that might be what I got. I don't know if there's
like
anything
it.
Else. I kind of... Yeah.
I could also see playing this on a virtual tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
Using little pixel guys.
Yeah.
Like you have to draw like a pixel guy specifically.
Yeah. As long as you restrict it to a specifically sized square. And,
yeah, right. I feel like that helps.
And a limited number of colors. Like that's, I think those are the, like that's, that feels like the key.
You know, how can I not think of the tactics game? Not Final Fantasy Tactics, the one that's the Fire Emblem, like the old Fire Emblem games.
Yeah.
That you've got like a little horse that's like, you know, 12 bits. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, I kind of like the tactics game I played was Advance Wars.
Okay, like, Advance Wars also had little tiny units, right?
Yeah, and they kind of represented a squad of that kind of unit.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's something there. I have to think about that. I wonder if there's a market for a whiteboard tactics game.
I no longer believe that I have any knowledge about what there is and is not a market for.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
I don't know how many people have whiteboards.
But whether there's a market for it or not could still be fun, you know?
Yeah, my the primary market for all the games that I make is me. And yeah, so, let's put this on the shelf and I might come back to it.
Sounds good.
Either in this episode or in the next.
That sounded like a romantic moment of like, we'll be together again in this life or the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be together, whiteboard skirmish game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about this board game you're making.
So, I am making a cooperative board game.
Yeah, I love those. They're one of my favorites.
I love them too. And there's two concepts that I kind of am like tying into that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
One is the slice and dice. Do you know Slice and Dice?
No.
Okay, Slice and Dice is a phone game.
Okay.
It's so good. It's like this little dice-based fantasy game. You go into a dungeon and fight monsters. And one of the very cool things in it is that you and the monsters roll at the same time, but you make all of your actions before the monsters do. And so you have perfect knowledge of what's going to happen when they attack.
Interesting.
And so like, I'm really enjoying that aspect. And I think that that works really, really well in a board game. That you have like, this is what we need to deal with. Cooperatively, let's deal with that.
Is it slice and, like slice ampersand dice?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
It is probably my most used app on my phone.
Hmm.
I play entirely too much of it. Big update coming in 9 days. So excited. 8 days at time of listening.
Okay.
If you listen right away.
Yeah. Or you're trapped in a time loop.
Or you're trapped in a time loop. In which case, an infinite number of days away.
That's always eight.
But it's always eight. So here is what I am picturing and liking. I skin everything as fantasy first. It's just easier. But I want to play with D20s because I like the mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. Don't eat dice.
Yeah, just gotta say it. And so my thinking is that you have basically 20 slots from 1 to 20, and dice are being rolled, and things happen at those, like, locations. So, like, if the enemy rolls a 10, and you roll a 10, you could use an action to, like, shut down that enemy's 10. Right, if you've got like a defensive ability. The way armor is gonna work in the game is that, like, you know, if the enemy has armor of 6, then that means numbers 1 through 6 take 1 less damage when it gets hit. And so, like, you have to, like, so you're rolling multiple d20s that go on the same track as the monster's d20s that it's rolling. And, like, the attacks that the monsters make affects all of the players. And the players need to kind of, like, whittle down the monster and, like, set things up. And so, like, I'm seeing scenarios where you have, like, abilities that, like, move a die up by mm-hmm. one. Mm. Or that, like, you know, if you've got multiple dice within a range, that things happen. And stuff like that.
So is this also, like, a tactics game? Like, or is it, like, is it just combat?
Yeah, it's just combat. Because it's just a board game. The idea would be, I mean, not just a board game. Board games are great.
But not like a board game, like, you're not moving around a map.
No, you've just got, like, a thing in front of you that you've got, like, your little hero card that has a couple abilities on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, in the middle of the table, the board, which has numbers 1 through 20 to put dice on and put little armor pieces on and little tokens on. And then, like, a boss monster card that gives a dungeon power that affects all of their monsters. And then, like, probably three rounds of monsters before you fight the big bad. And so you just, like, have a couple of quick fights, fight the big one, and you win or you lose.
Interesting.
Do you kind of understand what I'm saying with it? I sent you a link earlier. We can yeah. include the link.
I'm getting older. I'm not great at ingesting game mechanics quickly. Fine. I sent you a request to access.
Oh. I guess I gotta approve that. Or not. You could just not approve it. Ruin this podcast.
I am looking at this picture of basic attacks, 1 damage, 3 on armor tile.
Okay. I'm hitting share. I have hit share.
Ah, now I can see it.
All right.
Come to office edit.
So sheet 1 has the stuff. Instructions is just like the basic instructions of the game.
Okay.
Which you could check, take a look at if that's helpful. But the next page has kind of like a excelled version of the board.
Yeah, okay.
And so in this kind of like example little battle thing, it is a character that is set up to leverage armor. And so its basic attack is you roll 2 basic attacks and 1 special attack. Probably as baseline, maybe that's different. For cards, I'm really not sure. So the basic attack is 1 damage if no one deals with it to everybody. And if it lands on an armored tile, then 3 damage. And its special attack is that it adds armor to a tile.
Oh, okay.
And so what you have to do with this one is deal with the armor, either by like destroying armor or killing it before it gets too much armor. And then the dungeon power, this is just like an example dungeon power. Each turn, roll a die. Any player dice rolled on this space are ignored. And so like, you know, that would depend big bad to big bad. But more or less you stick those 2 concepts together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the hero's powers. Okay. And so, like, you're, as a player, you have 1 or 2 choices, like, probably 2 or 3 abilities, and, like, slots for the abilities.
Okay.
So, like, if you've got your special attack, that we don't want you using 3 of it, then there'll be 1 slot for it, right? But where you put it on the board might make a difference. So, like, if you have an ability that destroys armor and you roll 1 die on an armor slice and 1 die on a non-armor slice, then you want to target that. And additionally, you're trying to deal with the stuff before you get to the enemy resolving, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, even if you can't block its basic attack, if you can destroy the armor that's under the basic attack,
Then
it does less damage. And things like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that it's a bunch of very simple mechanics that kind of overlap in complex ways.
That's exactly what I'm going for with it. Because like you will, as a player, be responsible for your little hero guy.
Yeah.
That has like basic attack, you know, like you could spend all of your dice on this to do whatever easy attack thing. And then like 1 or 2 additional things that change the board up, you know? And so like you might be someone who can slide a die, or like swap a die to the opposite side. Or maybe you affect 3 tiles around you. And so like setting those up and making sure that you're working as a team to prevent yourself from taking, you know, a ton of damage is the name of the game. So what do you think? That's kind of like broad concept, right?
Yeah. I think it sounds fun. I think that the the mechanics of it are interesting. I think I need to maybe, I would maybe need to see it in motion to really kind of understand it. But I do like the concepts behind it. How many players do you think that it is?
Probably. I figured probably a pretty standard board game size, you know, like looking 3-4.
Okay.
Although really, okay, it's, there's no reason you couldn't solo play it with a couple of PCs.
Yeah.
You know, you stick, if the game plays best with four people and you stick four hero cards down.
Yeah, then that's what you got. Yeah.
And that's what you got. And that could work also.
Interesting.
But I like the idea of like, you're playing the game. And like, okay, so we rolled it, and it's like, oh man, this guy's gonna do 6 damage to all of us. You know, that's gonna kill 2 of our party. We lose. We need to solve this now.
Yeah, I like that competitive puzzle nature of it.
Yeah. And then like, you know, probably like this is very basic, but like probably there would be stuff that it's like, you know, 1 damage if it's 1 to 8. 2 damage if it's 9 to 10, to 14. And so, you know, you gotta prioritize.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm trying to think if I can think of anything that'd be an interesting mechanic to add.
I'm looking right now at I have like a piece of paper with written down heroes and stuff. Because I can't get away from from hero based games. But like I think poison would work pretty easily for monsters or heroes. Destroying armor I think works really well for heroes. Ignoring armor probably works well for heroes. Shifting armor or shifting dice. You know, like there's all sorts of things within that, you know.
Is there treasure?
That was what I was thinking. So I was thinking that after each bad guy you face, you draw a treasure card that gives you one more ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you're not necessarily getting, like, stronger as much as you're getting new options. I'd also played with the idea that this isn't hero-based, and instead it's like you choose a weapon at the beginning. And that gives you one thing, and then like you're getting the treasure to get more powerful.
Mm. It's Red Crawl. We're back.
We're back. We're back, baby. Same questions.
Have you? I have been playing a lot of Helldivers.
Not played that yet.
Are you aware of it culturally? Do you understand what it is? Have you seen it about?
I know like 2 things. One is that it's like over the top, like Starship Troopers style.
Yeah.
Like joke propaganda.
Yeah.
And 2, it's an FPS?
Yes.
Okay, those are the 2 things.
So actually it's a third person shooter, but close.
Okay. Yeah, a third person shooter. That's what I said.
But so one of the things that is interesting about it that I think is maybe relevant that I'm just going to talk through and we'll see if we can't find a way to connect them, if that makes sense at all, is so you have stratagems is what the game calls them. But they are basically like weapons, tools, it's everything. It's a broad concept from everything from a big machine gun to a big airstrike to a turret you can call down, just different things you can do. And you unlock them by playing, like you earn currency in the game, and then you unlock stratagems, and whenever you go into a mission, you can pick 4 stratagems to go with you. Like you bring 4 stratagems.
Like the ones that you... Okay.
And so there's a little bit of like, of gaming, like there's a little bit of gaming, where you look at the mission and say, what do I think the best stratagems are going to be here? Do I think for this mission, like there's some missions where you're just like going to stand in the middle of a base and the enemies are going to attack you, and you're going to just try to kill as many alien bugs as you can in a time period.
Yeah.
And so for those, like, bring more turrets. Or that too, yeah. But also just as many turrets as you can to help you provide more firepower.
Yeah.
There's ones where you have to run around and, like, destroy enemy manufacturing sites. And so for those, like, having more airstrikes is good. And
yeah.
And so it's like there's some, and then there's some, because everyone is doing the same thing, there's a little bit of like, well, maybe I will bring my good airstrike and you will bring your good turrets. And then the third person will bring their jump packs or jet packs or whatever. And I wonder if you couldn't end up with a similar thing for this, where it's like we flip over the boss and go, okay, here is the boss. This is their deal. This is their, we know how their mechanics work. Now, which of our items, like either your basic abilities or treasure abilities, do I want to bring to help that I think will be the best at helping me puzzle our way through this?
Yeah, yeah. Amusingly, some of that I already had.
Okay.
I had you pick the big bad ahead of picking the players. Because like my idea was that you were picking a hero card that has a couple abilities on it. So some of that I had a little bit already, but I do think leaning into that is a good idea. I had it that you draw the big bad first,
mm-hmm.
and then you choose your hero cards. And so the idea being that, like, you know that you're going to be dealing with extra armor on everything. But part of me wonders if there is some fun in just knowing exactly the enemy order you're going to get, like top to bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that could be like a player power alternately, or like
that's
a treasure power.
Yeah, like foresight. play out a river of five bad guys and then like flip them, and then you flip over the number based off of how much divination you have.
Yeah, right? Like I feel like there's something, there's maybe something there that's,
I mean,
that's
like
all, a player ability.
There are all those, I mean, to make it more puzzly, like there are all those like Marvel superhero-y card games where you're building a little team, like deck builders. And they almost always have like you draw an enemy and then you keep drawing more enemies. So you see that list that you're going to fight through in advance.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, ah, well, I better save my magic wand for this guy because they're the magic bad guy.
And that is definitely in the spirit of like knowing what your enemy's attacks are going to be.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Like drawing them out one at a time so you can see what's coming.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm, yeah. And
maybe
then
there's I do like the idea though of there being something about the character that determines, so okay, if you're going to do a run of 5 enemies, I don't know what the standard is for this, but if you're going to do a run of 5 enemies, maybe you lay them down face down, and then there's like an initiative order. Or like everybody rolls initiative, and that initiative ends up being like being between 1 and 5.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 1 and 6. It's a 6-sided dice. But it's like, okay, my initiative is like, and you want high numbers. And if your initiative or your divination or whatever is 6, then you wait till all the monsters are flipped over, and then you make your choices about what abilities and stuff you're bringing. But if your divination is only 1, then like you flip over the first monster and make your decision based off of that. And once you're locked in, you can't change it.
That's fun. That could be an interesting way to set it up.
Give
that
it a
could
little
also
bit of...
be a big bad ability.
Yeah.
Like shrouded monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of this is that I need to play test it, which I'm going to be doing soon because there's a lot of demand for me to play this game.
Yeah.
But I do, because I do think that the more information you have, the more this game works.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is that, like, the dice are random, but you know exactly what abilities you have. You know exactly what abilities your opponent has.
Yeah, there's a puzzle to it.
Yeah. And, like, you could get screwed over by the dice. But I like, in, like, Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert, I like when you hit that moment that you're like, wow, we did everything we could do, and we lost because the cards came up in this order. And then it's just like, there was just nothing. There was nothing that could have been done. But also, it feels great when you're playing and you're like, okay, everything's hopeless, and you figure out the path out, that you're like, hold on. If we slide this from a 7 to an 8, then the die that I have on 9 can actually shield that. You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
And of course, I've got like a bunch of silly ideas for things that can be done with various treasure or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. What if the monsters were all mechs drawn on sticky notes?
Well, there you go. There you go. Then you're done. Yeah. All right. Well, you said you're going to bring it back around. Here you are.
Yeah, I did. I wrote it back around.
Yep. In this life. Yeah. In this very life. Yeah.
This is interesting. There's a lot to this, and I'm interested in seeing where this goes.
When I started this out, I was looking for this to be like a really simple idea, and like, you know, I don't know whether it's scope creep or not. If the point of it is to be messing around with it and having fun with it, but like, it doesn't take much for this to become a strategy game. You know?
Yeah. That's the thing.
Like, if you've got one character that has, like, you know, do damage,
yeah,
and shield the two adjacent numbers, and you have one character that has, like, shift a die up or down, then, like, you're going, okay, this is now involves two different people, we've saved everybody.
Even just on a very basic level, like, there's an easy built-in system for like ramping up and down the difficult, like the complexity of the game by saying like bosses and characters each get one ability, or they each get two abilities, or they each get three abilities.
Totally. And like a difficulty of the game by just going, the monster gets another die.
Yeah.
You know, like I have no idea what the balance on this should be, but like, if it could be that like, that each round the monster gets another die in some way. But, you know, who knows?
Interesting.
I do think there should be a boss monster at the end. I think it should be a win-lose thing, not a play-till-you-lose thing.
Yeah.
Play-till-you-lose is tempting always, because I love losing.
Yeah, it feels like we lay out the X number of enemies that are the chain or in the dungeon, and then there's a final boss. And we maybe draw that from a different deck because it's a boss.
Totally, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the boss has the dungeon powers, the little baddies do not.
Yeah, interesting.
So where I am with this right now.
Yeah.
I need to make a frost dragon hero.
Okay.
Because of a player request.
Mm-hmm.
A very insistent player request.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. I'm gonna make like a defender type character. Because I like defender type characters. And probably one more and try to get a playtest in with like three players. And, like, even just one monster. So, I theoretically am done on the monster side of things.
Okay.
Apart from choosing some numbers.
I would love to playtest.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. It would be awesome to set up a time to playtest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Invite me over to your house.
I know we were talking about... I gotta do that. I know who we were talking about, how the way that it should work is that you're choosing the character after the fact. But should we make a hero for you? What would be your hero character guy?
I don't know. That's tough. Some kind of turtle, probably.
Some kind of turtle.
I'm feeling a little turtly today.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna just make turtle for James.
Yeah.
Cool. Is it like a magic? Like, is a turtle that does magic, or it's just like a defensive turtle, combat turtle?
I like magic turtle.
Magic turtle. Okay. Cool. Healy magic or like combat-y magic?
I don't know.
Defensive magic.
Yeah, defensive magic. The idea of a turtle that has two heads called a toodle that pops into my head. And I can't stop thinking about that now.
Yeah, no, I can think you a turtle-ettin.
A toodle, yeah. Yeah.
That turtle makes sense. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, so then I will not make another defensive character because there's a defensive character.
Okay.
And then, like, you know, the idea is like I think I'm going to try to use like itch.io resource packs.
Mm-hmm.
Because like there's some incredible resource packs for like people that are making games that are free. And a lot of those then also have commercial options. So I'm gonna like look into like what kind of thing. Because I don't want to do all the art for this.
Yeah.
But maybe some of it. I don't know. Gotta figure it out.
Let me know. Maybe I can make you a board.
It could be fun. Yeah, I've got like this idea in mind that like I vaguely know how to do, but vaguely don't. So I'm gonna be, the first couple of plays will definitely be on like a
whiteboard.
if only. Sharpie on a piece of paper. Then seeing kind of where it goes. But I want it to be simple enough that like that my kid can play it with reading help, you know?
Yeah.
Like probably with some quarterbacking. But yeah. like she was able to play Forbidden Desert the other day.
Oh wow.
We won.
Oh wow.
It was 2v Desert.
I don't know that I've ever done that.
So easy. The more players you have, the harder that game is. Two players, relatively easy. But that's, I'm getting to play cooperative games these days, so that's what I want to be making.
Yeah, interesting.
And then I just gotta make some treasures, you know? Yeah, you add them in. I don't know whether it's like whether the treasures should be things like enhancements. A la City of Heroes, that you're like putting it on the powers and going like plus one attack on one power, or if they should be like their own powers.
Yeah,
that you're getting.
I could see it being fun if they were just generic, like spend a treasure and then get an extra die or something.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure there's also a world where it's as simple as that.
Yeah, keep it simple.
But I'll probably goof around with both. Because needless to say, it's also fun to be able to go like, you know, oh yeah, I've got a magnet. I get to use that magnet ability and everything within 5 spaces all sucks treasures towards the magnet. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, again, that's where you could kind of like ramp the complexity up. You could play in just like earn a treasure, generic treasure mode, or you could play in treasures or ability mode.
Yeah. And I think I might, like, it's early, but I might even try to bring this to Metatopia. Because I'd playtest a board game. It'd be weird to playtest a board game.
Yeah.
I'd want to playtest it first, because I've never done a board game before.
Did I? No. Okay.
Hmm?
No. I playtested some board games. I wondered for a moment if I had brought a board game to play or a card game. I feel like I brought something weird when you're in Metatopia.
There's something called Let Brandon and Jeff Play a Space Between.
Someday.
Did you brought?
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
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 Someday I'll finish that game. Someday.
Everything will be finished in its time.
Yeah, when it's right. When the moment is right, the game will finish itself.
In this life or the next.
Is what I keep hoping, yeah.
Yeah.
it's looking more and more like the next life every day, but we keep hoping maybe it's this one.
Maybe. We'll see. Oh my gosh.
Do we want to just wrap there? I feel like we landed on a good...
We might be,
good spot. I think we've hit about the right length for an episode, and... I'm losing energy. It's Monday.
Yeah, it's the Monday after daylight savings time. Yeah. So thanks, farmers.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
give me my hour back.
Yeah. I love farmers. I got no beef with farmers.
No.
Yeah.
no beef with farmers here.
No.
Well,
except for cattle farmers.
Yeah, farmers have a lot of beef. But yeah, that's a different story.
That is theirs, and I will not get in the way of that.
I won't take that from them. No, but yeah, if you are a cattle farmer and you want to play a board game,
yeah,
about monsters or mechs, or if you own a whiteboard, yeah, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. If you don't own a whiteboard, don't even bother.
We don't want
to
hear it.
Yeah, yeah, don't want to hear it. As we said at the top of the show, sometimes still on Twitter, together at Stop Hack and Roll. I still look at it, and I'm at In the Meltdowns. I'm also at Malloyable on Blue Sky, primarily.
And I am BLG on whiteboards. Yeah. If you tag me on whiteboards, I will know it. So just write at BLG and you'll find me.
Yeah, it works.
I'm theoretically on Blue Sky. I'm theoretically on Tumblr. I am more and more a hermit in the woods. You can find our podcast by finding it on your podcatcher or at www.stopbackandroll.com.
Yeah. We make this podcast, and we used to make more. We will someday again.
Business podcast.
Yeah, our business podcast. Stop Hacking Business. Stop hacking our business.
Please.
Please.
We've lost some more customers.
With the support of our Patreon backers, people like Chris Riddich, Richard Kirchlandry, Refined Ursine, Michael Bowman, Jack Blair, Larry Asmuth, Evan Nyquist, Brian Pemberton, Nerys Roja, and Devin White. If you'd like to support us in making this show or any of our future shows, please check us out at patreon.com/stophackandroll.
If you would like to support us in a non-monetary way, and you know what? I'm just going to go and say it. See a Excel preview of this game. Check us out at tinyurl.com/shrdiscord. Come join our community. We do community things.
We do. Sometimes I post about... Well, I didn't actually post the Seeking Out Mechs, but sometimes I do. but also people make cool stuff. We hype them up.
Yeah, we do honestly have like such a good community there. It is one of the few social parts of the internet that I'm still involved with.
Yeah.
And I've been really enjoying that.
Yeah. We talk about movies, we talk about food, we talk about games, inventions, hyping people up, music, all sorts of stuff. Sports.
Oh man, sports. You know, I do need to mention one other thing.
Yeah.
This is self-hype. But also, check out a podcast. RTFM featured Pasión de las Pasiones a while ago. This is a great podcast. It's a great podcast where they read RPG books and talk about them from like a scholarly and well-informed and also game gamer. They'd hate that. Yeah, no, but like with knowledge about how games work and with knowledge about how games play, and just read the text and really get in deep with some of these games. And it's there's some oldies, there's some great games, some real stinkers. And a little while back, Pasión was featured and ranked highly on their season 4 favorite games list. Nice. So nice. I appreciate Aaron and Maxwell over there, and they're just, you know, it made my day hearing that. And so go, and also just like, not for nothing, that is one of my very favorite podcasts. RTFM is incredible. Every episode is so good.
Very cool that they did the game.
It was emotional. I was like at work getting emotional. it was really good timing, actually, both on the release of the episode about it and the top games of season 4, because I needed it both of those days, and it was really nice.
Yeah, nice. Well,
yeah, if you my are... secret pod guardian angels.
Yeah, coming in the moment's right. If you are a gamer and you're gaming. and you're planning out your gaming on a whiteboard.
I'm so sorry I called you gamers.
Don't forget to grab 3 extra sticky notes and write stop, pack, and roll.